at tonight. John chapter 20. And we'll read verse 21. The Lord appears to his disciples several times after his resurrection. And, well, for 40 days he does. And we don't have a record of all that he said. Here in John 20, we have several of his statements. Peace be unto you, being one that he gives four times. You would think that the resurrected Lord standing before them would inspire a great deal of peace, but you got to remember where they are. You got to remember what just transpired. And the fear that was in their hearts that they were going to be rounded up and prosecuted, executed, and that would be the end of them. So peace was not a living reality in their midst. So the Lord promises them that peace. He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And now this part in verse 21, John 20, 21, is where I want to emphasize tonight. Let's read together here out loud. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So they had run away a few days before. They all ran. Nobody stood with the Lord. And now here the Lord is saying, I've been sent. I've accomplished the work. And I've revealed the name. I've done redemption. Now I want you to go. I'm going to send you. This is not the first time they're being sent. We'll see other instances where they are sent. But they're not sent from the presence of the Lord. They're sent with the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. That's why he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And that power would become a reality to them. You may be seated. The sent forth happened a couple of times before, and we'll just revisit those instances here quickly. Matthew chapter 10. The 12 are named: Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and his brother John. I like the way there's family connections that are here. I think the Lord did that purposely. He could have gotten somebody from across town or from another town. But I think he purposely included family members so that we would understand as well that that is a ripe harvest field. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and then finally Judas. All 12 of them are included in what the Lord says in Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Everybody say, sent forth. And commanded them, and notice what he says, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. Now that sounds like discrimination. That sounds like and the opposite of go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But we've got to understand there was timing involved. When John 4 opens up the picture of the Lord at the well in Samaria, Jacob's well, we know it's introduced with the phrase, he must needs go through Samaria. The disciples wanted to go around. They were uncomfortable going through or into. But it was the timing that was necessary for the woman to receive. And when she received, she impacted the whole town. Amen. And then a few years later, Philip goes. Again, timing. Philip goes to Samaria, and there was great joy in the city. The whole city came to hear the word of God. They were baptized in the name of the Lord, and Philip emphasizes that, or Luke, writing the book of Acts, emphasizes twice that they were baptized in the name of the Lord. The Holy Ghost was not yet fallen upon them. Peter and John came from Jerusalem, laid hands on them, and Simon saw something miraculous. He saw something powerful, so powerful that he offered them money. Give me that power. On whomsoever I lay my hands, they'll receive the Spirit. It wasn't just raising a hand. It wasn't just a nod. It wasn't just signing the register. Something supernatural happened. Amen. And in the consistency of the Word of God, we know what happened. Praise God. The power of the Holy Ghost was displayed in an awesome way. And thank the Lord for that power to be displayed. Now look at verse 1 of Matthew 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Now, keep in mind the chronology here. Acts chapter 2 is still years away. That particular day of Pentecost was still in the future. Oh, they'd celebrated Pentecost, they'd celebrated Passover, they'd done all of these things with the Lord. At least three times, maybe four. But that's, the outpouring is still there. However, he gives them power right here against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now that's power. Praise God. And you drop down to verse 8. The Lord's still giving the command. He's still giving the instruction. He's still wanting them to understand what they're going to do as he sends them out. Heal the sick. Wow. And he had just said all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now he's emphasizing it. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. I wonder if he was saying it in kind of a preaching voice like I am now. Or did he just say it? This is what I want you to do. Raise the dead. What, you know, you try to imagine the expression on their faces, their reaction, their response. What? Raise the dead? We're not even supposed to be around them. We're not even supposed to touch them. You know, all the Jewish law that would kick in here. But the Lord reminds them, freely you have received, freely give. And he's talking more about more than, you know, the giving of the tithe and offering. He's talking about giving of yourself, giving of your time, your energy, your ministry, your gifts. You've received them freely. You didn't buy them. You didn't pay for them. And so you freely give. But oh my goodness, the potential here, the possibilities. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Now that is some kind of power. That's authority. Praise God. And that's what the Lord desires for them to display. Now drop down to verse 16. He's still giving them this aspect. You're being sent. Yeah, you're not just wandering willy-nilly around here trying to determine what to do, where to go, what to say. No, he said, I send you forth. Now, he describes that they're really not going to assassinate Caesar, overthrow Rome, all of that sort of thing, because of the weakness that is inherent within them as sheep. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, that might take some of the wind out of their sails. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What do you think that, why, after talking about power, the power to heal the sick, to cleanse lepers, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, now he's saying, almost like he's backing up here, but you're sheep among wolves, therefore be as wise as a serpent and as wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. What's the connection? Why did he, is he qualifying the powerful statement that he said before? Or is he wanting to get something across? What do you think it is? Okay. There's, you know, wolves that are, you know, can be vicious, can be tearing. Just, you know, don't be paranoid. We talked about this the other day. We're not being paranoid. We're being aware. You know, just understand here that there are some things that you're going to deal with, and so here's how you deal with it. And causing no harm and being extremely wise. Any other thought?
By association, being wise to the devil's tactics.
Okay. That would be a look back clear at the beginning of Genesis 3. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked. Don't fall for any of his devices. Okay? Okay. All right. The Lord said at one point, don't cast your pearls before swine. Sometimes that's hard to understand. So when do we sow the seed? Well, you sow the seed all the time. You sow the seed in all kinds of soil. You don't wait for perfect conditions. You just sow. But then there are other times that you recognize, I better wait. I better wait. Okay. Okay. To show the fruit, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit extensively, and that demonstration of fruit, the example that you show, sets you apart. You are different. You're not like the rest of society, the rest of the world. There's a marked difference in your life. And so that wisdom, you know, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Does the wisdom come before you win souls, or does the wisdom come after you win souls? Oh, it's a combination. You recognize, I got to be smart about this. Not that it's all entirely on you. No, the Spirit of God is going to do the work. You know, it's not you that pours out the Holy Ghost, it's him. It's not you that gives a revelation of the name, it's him. Amen. So, but we share the message, we take it forth, and we let others recognize how powerful the Lord is. Amen. Brother Rick.
Conversation at the beginning about wolves and serpents and stuff, but that latter part talked about humility and how we are in traffic when there's a crisis, how we react to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That dove aspect is pretty critical. And Becca brought that out, I think, pretty well.
All right. Now, the devil would want you to focus on wolves. Oh no. But we know we have a shepherd. And we know the shepherd is there for us for protection, for defense, because a sheep doesn't have any defense. Nothing. Might be able to butt with its head a little bit, but that's about it. But thank God for the shepherd. Never forget you have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. And sometimes we equate that lack of want with simple material things. I'm always going to have something to drink. I'm always going to have food to eat. I'm always going to have a roof over my head, clothes to wear, and so on. But we understand it's way more than that. And particular in the spiritual realm, when you're trying to do the work of God, you have a shepherd. Amen. And you stay close to that shepherd. You remain in his care. And you demonstrate his character, because the Spirit of God is within you. Now, keep in mind, this is before, again, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have the power of the abiding presence of God. He's walking with them. He's talking with them. He's sending them forth. But, here they go. So, it's significant that the Lord then says, fear not. Now, the context seems to change a little bit in the three times in this chapter that the Lord says, fear not. But nonetheless, there's that command, don't fear. Fear thou not. And verse 26, verse 28, also verse 31, fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. He's letting them know, that, you don't have to be afraid. You can step forth. You can do the work that I desire you to do. So these disciples went forth with that work. Now, let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10, 70 were sent forth. Teams of two, so 35 teams go forth. Luke 10 and 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place. Oh, this is different. Every city and place. He didn't say skip the Gentiles and the Samaritans. He's sending them to everywhere, whither he himself would come. So they were like an advanced team. They were like John the Baptist going forth and a voice in the wilderness crying out, the Lord. But here again, verse 3, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now you've even become small and even more vulnerable. Not just sheep, but lambs among wolves. And that because he's the shepherd. He's not going to forsake you. Amen. John 10 and 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he's sending them out. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Praise God. So again, you're not alone. Amen. And in this chapter 10 of Luke, they were given power to heal and to preach. The Lord said, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And they went forth with power. They returned with joy. They were excited. They were thrilled. Verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Oh, man, they're getting firsthand knowledge of how powerful that name is. Amen. And recognizing it really does bring healing. It really does cast out devils. It really does this work. Verse 19, The Lord had told them that he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And the reason he can say that is he's the one who kicked him out. Amen. He's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. And Isaiah 9:6 lets us know that those are his credentials. Praise God. So, verse 19, behold, he gives them more power. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is an incredible promise. Praise God. And so did that cause more rejoicing? I imagine so. I imagine there were smiles and there were looks at one another and nudging with the elbow and mouthing the words, more power. Praise God. And then Jesus said, don't just rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written. Praise God. And thank the Lord. So the Lord sent them forth. And thank God, there were incredible results. Now, Jesus and his disciples cross over Gennesaret. This is when Jesus walked on the water to them, and Peter wanted to walk on the water, so the Lord invited him. And my, what an incredible display of the power of the Lord. But when they got to this village of Gennesaret, word was sent out all around the area for people to come and be healed. Look at Matthew 14 and 35. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, of Jesus, that he's here, he's coming, they sent out into all that country round about. So the crowd is getting excited now. And they're letting the word out. They're spreading it around. And they brought unto him all that were diseased. And their request was, Lord, if we can just touch your garment. And that was the level of faith that they had. But Lord, we don't, you know, like the centurions, I don't need you to come to my home. I know you can say the word. And the nobleman's son, who, you know, he heard the word from the Lord, go thy way, thy son liveth. Okay, he turned and went. Here come his servants. Your son's alive. He's recovering. He's healed. When did this happen? And he compares the time. Amen. The Lord is able to do the work in that manner. And so, just touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible lets us know as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Again, the reactions, those healed returning home, the people who lived with them, the people who knew them, their families, their friends, seeing them well. What kind of excitement, what kind of thrill, what manner of report and testimony that it must have spread like wildfire. Praise God. They didn't have a radio to speak on, Brother Rick. They didn't have newspaper I don't know if they did or not, but they probably couldn't afford to have their testimony included. But, oh my, the word must have spread like mad. The man from Gadara, how much did he know about Jesus before? In his tormented state, he's running around in the tombs. He's tearing his clothes off. They put chains on him. He breaks the chains. They put fetters and bands on him. He breaks those. He's screaming and yelling. He's carrying on. The demons are tormenting him. Supernatural strength is given to him. But how much did he know about Jesus? And then when the ship arrives at his shore, it's flat calm, he runs to worship him. Not running around in the cemetery anymore, not running around among the tombs. He runs to worship the Lord. Praise God. And the demons, the legion that's in him, every writer, Mark, Luke, and Matthew, they all use the more or less the same words. Luke says, they say, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High. Mark says, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. You know, this is the demons talking now. Matthew records it, Jesus, thou Son of God. The devils knew his name. And they knew the work that he was accomplishing, that he had come to do. It was redemption. There had to be shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, there is no remission of sins. That's all the way back to the garden. Amen. And Jesus came for that redemptive work. And the devils know it. And they recognize him. So they begged to go into the swine. They ran into a lake and drowned. And the keepers ran to the city to tell. There are lots of running around here. And the whole city came to ask Jesus, we have a banquet in your honor. We have a parade. And that demon-possessed man who's now healed, sitting at your feet, clothed and in his right mind, he's going to be the marshal of the parade. That's not what happened. We want you to leave. That's a strange reaction to me. I mean, sure, they were counting their coins with the lost pigs, but regaining that man that are village, regaining his sanity and his place in with his family and so on, you'd think there would have been a celebration, but that's not what happened. Jesus broke the chains, but they didn't have a celebration. But that man wanted to follow Jesus. But Luke 8:39, Jesus sent him away. He's still sending. He's still saying, this is what I want you to do. And verse 39, Luke 8, return to thine own house. This is where he is sending him. Show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I'm sure there were people who shook his hand. There were people who patted him on the back. There were people who were saying, man, you look good today. And then he'd start telling them about Jesus. They weren't going to get away from it. They weren't going to just gloss over, you know, that fact. He was lifting up the Lord. He was doing something because he was sent. It wasn't just, you know what? I think I'll go and tell some people what happened to me. No, Mark's report, Mark 5 and 20. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis. Decapolis? 10 cities? Yeah. And what he began to tell was how great things Jesus had done for him. And all the men did marvel. Praise God. Your testimony is not about demons and not about, you know, deliverance in that way, but your testimony of salvation is powerful. Amen. And the changes that the Lord would be making in your lives continually. How powerful and how ongoing that is. So you got to be willing to be sent. Amen. Be willing to go. Not just, sitting and waiting. No, we're not just sitting and waiting. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Occupy what? Occupy a pew. And don't want anybody else to sit there. That sort of thing? No. Occupy from the sense of be busy. Be busy doing the work. Amen. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He heard the worship of the seraphims. The doorposts moved. The temple was filled with smoke. And he's seeing the Lord. He's hearing this. He's amazed at what is going on. And perhaps he can remember from the scrolls how in the tabernacle Moses saw it filled with the glory of the Lord, and how when Solomon was dedicating the temple again, the glory cloud filled the temple. And he's seeing it with his own eyes. And thank God he can still fill the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he wants to fill. He wants to make complete. Praise God. But Isaiah's reaction is one of repentance. He's not jumping up and down. He's not clapping his hands. He's not being thrilled at what he's witnessing, what he's hearing, what he's seeing. He says, woe is me. It almost seems like kind of a strange reaction. How would Pentecostals react if that happened? Now, we'd have to understand how great his glory is, how powerful and wonderful he is. Amen. And it's all about him. It wasn't Isaiah wanting to, I can hardly wait to get out here and tell people what I've seen. As though it was about him. No. His interaction with the Spirit and with the Lord was, woe is me. I am undone. I am unclean. The distinction was incredible, wasn't it? But one of the seraphims flew to touch him with a live coal that he had taken from off the altar. Oh my, lots of preaching right there. And then he told him, thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. The Lord knew how to deal with it. The Lord knew how to correct the problem. The Lord knew how to prepare him, how to enable him. Praise God. And then the question came, who will go? Isaiah's ready now. He's confessed, he's repented, he's been touched, he's been changed. Then the question, who will go? And Isaiah responds, here am I, send me. Willing to be sent. Praise God. And unfortunately, the message is one of judgment that Isaiah is going to take. But look at the possibilities. Look at what could have happened. The Lord says, go and tell the people, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, be converted, be healed. That's what could have happened. But instead, judgment. Aren't you glad you've got a message that can change people, that can make things better, that can improve marriages, that can heal hearts, that can lift up families? Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. Judgment, yes, we understand that. But oh, thank God for a powerful message that can make a difference in people's lives. Amen. Now, Antioch was a powerful church. The city, obviously important, but more important what was in it. It was the church. Acts 13:1. In the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, and there's a short list here, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul, whom we know is going to become Paul. But look at Manaen, and look at how there's a commentary on who he is. Sister Becca was looking at this the other day. Manaen had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. He's the one who, made such a mess of things. And the Lord dealt with him. Talk about judgment. The Lord dealt with him in a very direct and straightforward way. When he wouldn't give glory to God, bang, down he goes. But Manaen, who had been brought up with this nasty Herod, is a prophet and a teacher. Praise God. Oh, the Lord can make a change in anybody's life. No matter what their background, no matter what their heritage, no matter what they've grown up with. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Herod's foster brother was in the church. And it was in Antioch that they were first called Christians. So the Holy Ghost says, in this chapter, the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So they fasted, they prayed, they've already been fasting and praying, they fasted and prayed again. They laid their hands on them, and they were sent. Sent by the church, and sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And you'd think, oh man, everything's going to go great. The power of the Lord's going to be displayed. They've got prayer behind them. They got the Holy Ghost in them. And the Spirit of God is directing them. We just wait for the results. What did they encounter first? Demon-possessed man. But they deal with it. Because they were sent. Amen. And Sergius Paulus and this deputy and all of the stuff that's going on there, the power of God, the power of the Lord being displayed. Praise God. Now, there's prayer requests that I want us to look at. They have to do with being sent. Luke 16 tells about the rich man and compares his life with Lazarus, who is a beggar. The dogs licked his sores. He ate the crumbs from the table. Quite a contrast. And quite a contrast in where they end up. The rich man's in hell. And he begs for mercy. He prays for a drop of water. Send Lazarus. Doesn't happen. So he changes his prayer request. I pray thee, send him to my father's house. My five brothers need his witness. My five brothers need to see him. My five brothers need to change. He said, I don't want them to come to this place of torment. The torment's real. This is the fourth time that torment is mentioned in this account. Four times it's mentioned. We're not playing games here. We're not just talking about if you don't serve God, you're going to have a bad day. This is awful. This is horrible. And that's why this man is making his prayer so desperate. Send Lazarus. But Moses and the prophets is the answer. No, send Lazarus from the dead. That'll be a more powerful witness. That will be something they'll sit up and take notice. They'll hear. They'll listen. They'll pay attention. They have Moses and the prophets. Twice, the word of God is lifted up, even above a miracle. Amen. And that's a powerful endorsement of the word of the Lord. Now, the prayer request for the Lord of the harvest. Hell has their prayer request. The Lord said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we sit around and moan and groan and wonder who's going to do it. Who's going to work? No, he said, pray. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth, everybody say, send forth, laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest. Not my harvest, not your harvest, his harvest. And the Lord of the harvest is going to get it done. But he needs laborers, workers, those willing to be sent. Praise God. And thank the Lord. It can happen. That's his prayer request. Luke 10 and verse 2, again, the whole similar phrases here. The harvest is truly great. The laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. So there's got to be that, like Isaiah, I'll go. I'm willing. And I'll make time. I'm not going to be so busy making a living that I forget to live and live in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And be able to do the work of the Lord. See, when the Lord is talking about sowing, and there's tares and there's wheat and they all grow up and so on, he says, the field is the world. Now, when we hear that, we automatically think of the slide that's got the missionaries on it that we pray for, and oh God bless those missionaries, and we're thinking, I need to go to Africa, I need to go to South America, I need to go Southeast Asia, wherever. The world starts at your front door. Actually, it starts in your home. Your family is a harvest field. Amen. But when you step out your front door, there's a harvest. There's the potential to reach somebody with the word, with your witness. Amen. The power of the Lord working with you. Now, if the Lord gave that authority and that power to his disciples who have just been walking with him, I don't know what the timeline is there. Months? A year? No, they're not professionals. They haven't had a whole bunch of time with them. You know, 3.5 years, and the Holy Ghost falls, and they get started. That's powerful. But here, you know, Matthew 10, Luke 10, they're just getting started walking with him. And they've got power to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. That's incredible. So, the Lord of the harvest wants to send you with authority, you with anointing, you with answers. Now, I'm not implying that you haven't done anything. You've done great. You've done tremendous. But there's always more. And no one could say, I've done my best. Because there's always more. Amen. There's always more blessing that the Lord wants to give. There's always more that you can do. Freely you have received. Freely give. Is the proportion the same? Or does he give you a whole bunch and you give a little bit? Uh-oh. we gotta make sure that we're following through in the way that God wants us to. Amen. And to see that power of the Lord displayed. Stand with me tonight. The book of Acts, his harvest, included individuals, cities, families, the potential was for everybody. Now, cities came together to hear the word of the Lord, and there was uproar, there was riot, there was opposition there. Paul had to be let down in a basket, the side of the wall. I mean, it wasn't always just a picnic, and everybody's smiling, everybody's doing good. When he was stoned, you know, they did a thorough job. There it wasn't just to raise a few lumps on his head. There was opposition, but the Lord was there. The Lord brought him through. Can anything separate you from the love of Christ? And he said, no, you're more than conquerors. Amen. And yet, the reason he could say that is he went through a bunch of that stuff. all of the opposition, all of the situations, you know, the principalities, powers, and sicknesses, and so on. And he knew how powerful the Lord could demonstrate himself as well on their behalf. Praise God. So here we are. Let's come and pray here for a few minutes, and then we'll go downstairs. Praise God, sent forth. My Father sent me. I'm going to send you. Greater works than these shall you do? Amen. See, the one became 12. Judas, of course, dropped out. They replaced him. The 12 became 120. The 120 became 3,000. 3,000 became 5,000. Not became, was added on to. Some historians say that the church in Jerusalem numbered 80,000. That's a harvest. Praise God. Praise God. So, the Lord wants to use us. Amen. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in the churches. We pray for our pastors and their families. And we're believing God for a harvest. But right here. Amen. Let's believe the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Jesus, we need you. We need you.